way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of dreamy scenes. There's a Garden of Eden, oh, that's what I mean. Creole babies with flashing eyes softly whisper with tender sighs, stop, oh, won't you give your lady fair a little smile, stop, bet your life you linger there a little while. There's heaven right here on earth with those beautiful queens down yonder in New Orleans.
Down yonder in New Orleans, man, you should have made all those scenes.
Why don't you send me a ticket?
Down on Bourbon and Rampart, back there in the teens.
The roaring umpteen.
Way back yonder, these poor old chops had an embouchure that was tops.
You were singing it.
Pops, you should have heard old Satchmo play.
I'll bet it was grand.
His chicks would leave their bowls to come and stand around the band. It was heaven right here on earth with those beautiful queens. I went down yonder into our dreams.
Orange blossoms, sweet aroma, and the strains of La Paloma seem to put you into a coma when those sad men would play.
We would dig the cotton to Vente.
Cotton to who?
King Oliver and Parente. Swinging the tiger, that's a plenty. Until the break of day.
Jambalaya and black-eyed peas
wafting out on the evening breeze.
Let's not waste any
man,
of this.
You should have seen these minstrel men do their parade.
Man, you talk about your lemonade made in the shade.
It was heaven right here on earth before rocket machines. Away down yonder in New Orleans.
Good afternoon. It's that time again, San Francisco Village Voice, La Misha here. As you know, the show usually goes like this. First, La Voz de San Pancho. It's about Raza Alerts. I don't believe that we have any Spanish-speaking guests today, but I will talk briefly about the campaign for Julio Ayala, who was murdered by South San Francisco PD on April 3rd. We just had a 6 months commemorative candlelight vigil last week. And there's a call on the air. Hello?
Hello. Oh,
hi.
Janice?
Yes.
Oh, hi. This is Janice. I'm looking for David.
Oh, hold on for a second.
And
would you mind calling back in about 15 minutes from now? We're on the air right now.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Sorry about that, folks. I'm alone in the studio. I'm answering the office line as well. So I hope that it's going to be cool from now on. And so we're going to talk briefly about the case of Julio Ayala, and I'm expecting two guests today, Bob Nichols, who actually has won two journalistic awards on his research on radioactivity, and we had a talk yesterday on the internet. He started telling me about radioactive sperm, and I say, whoa.
Please hang up and try again. If you need help.
I say, whoa, you need to come on the show, brother. So we're going to hear about Bob and also Reverend Ted Frazier, who is at the head of the Pentecostal Church here in San Francisco. He's one of the interfaith primary faith leader in San Francisco. And I've actually joined his prison ministry 2 weeks ago. Not that I'm too fond of the Pentecostal Church, but I want to support efforts here in the faith community to pay attention to our brothers and sisters who are incarcerated. And Ted Frazier is also getting involved in the Free Tyrell Taylor campaign to raise the funds for the bail for this young man who was shot by the police a month ago, 5 times in the back. He's 18, he's getting substandard care on the medical jail ward. We're trying to get him transferred to a public hospital in San Francisco. So Ted Frazier looked like he's picking up the ball. And we wish that other leaders of the faith, quote unquote, would do the same all across San Francisco. And we got a bunch of announcements. First of all, I want to announce for you this party coming up on October 30th. It's called Can I Pat the Kitty Cat? Did I say that? Yep. Can I Pat the Kitty Cat? And this is put together by Pam Pam, the director of the San Francisco Peacemaker, and it's a CD release party at Studio Z on October 30th at 8 p.m. And the address of Studio Z is 314 11th Street at Folsom Street. And what it's about is a New York-style party with a Frisco twist. And people have to be 21. There's an ID card required. $10 cover charge, parking at Costco right at the corner on 11th and Harrison. There's going to be a Best Kitty Cat Costume contest, and the Best Kitty Cat Costume is going to win $100. We're going to have exotic poetry, a lingerie show, female and male exotic dancers and impersonators and strippers, raffle and games. For info, you can visit pdaddy.com. That's pdaddy.com. Pam Pam is known as the imposing figure, director of the Peacemaker. She also is an anchor on KPU and has a show on Channel 29 public TV called Conscious Eyes. She's awesome. And she's my bud. And Daddy spells again PDADDI.com. She insists on Daddy with an I. You know, she is one of them Daddy girls. And this should be a lot of fun. And I'm sponsoring this party, actually. And we're talking here not any longer healthy sex, which is still the key, but we call it hot and sexy health. To just put a little fun, a little kick into it. And it's going to be open to everyone. You know what I'm saying? Gay, straight, transgender, lesbian, and everything in between. Even like the celibate all cones like I am. We're all going to have a bunch of fun there. So please all come to Can I Pat the Kitty Cat CD release party at Studio Z at 314 11th Street, corner of Folsom in San Francisco, on October 30th, 2005, at 8 p.m., $10 cover charge, parking at Costco at the corner on 11th and Harrison, New York, New Orleans-style party with a Frisco twist, Best Kitty Cat Costume win $100, exotic poetry, lingerie show, female and male strippers, raffle and games. For info, visit pdaddy.com, pdaddi.com. Hey.
Louis Armstrong and Bill Clark and I thought they were good. gonna do right now is take it down to the bayou. Way down the bayou where the coffin got sold.
And an
alligator sing the blues. And we lie loud. Oh, that's nice song. Ow!
I love me some Zydeco. Do you? Anyhow, some more announcements for you. Let's see. Save the date. The End Police Brutality Network presents a community discussion on perspective on community-based justice. We're talking restorative justice. Popular justice, restorative justice, another alternative to the current justice system. When? It's going to be Sunday, October 16th, from 12 to 3 p.m. at Ella Baker Center. That's 344 40th Street, Oakland, and California. And that's going to be, it's about a block away from the bar station, from the 19th Street bar station. And two speakers, Andrea Pritchett of Copwatch and you humbly, Misha Irisari of the Idris Ali Foundation. We will lead an interactive workshop on community-based justice movement as it relates to end police brutality movement. This workshop will help the community organizations and activists identify alternatives that can benefit the community most plagued by abusive policing and over-incarceration. Andrea Pritchett of Copwatch and Misha Irisari of the Idris Telly Foundation. I'm reading. And that's it. I hope that you're going to show up. I mean, you know, I'm not completely convinced that we have to work within the system. I believe in revolution. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on enemy combatant radio. But in the meantime, I don't know if we're willing to wait for the revolution to help out the brothers and sisters who are dying out there on the street and in the system, in the correctional system. And that's why we are looking into different models in restorative justice and how we can pressure our local governments to institute serious protocols around restorative justice. And the principle is basically not punishment, but healing. To create avenues within the jail system for people to rehabilitate themselves, to create avenues at the street level for people to do their own prevention, to have their own voice in community policing. And talking about community policing, I also have another announcement that I'm looking for right now. Here it is. Community policing at the OMI community meeting. And that's going to be in San Francisco Tuesday, October 25, 2005, at IT Bookman Community Center, corner of Randolph and Arch Streets. That's in, Ocean View, at 6 p.m. in San Francisco. The African American Community Police Relation Board and members from other concerned communities invite members of the OMI community to discuss the importance of community policing. Join us in the struggle to make our communities safe. For additional information, you can call 415-613-7200. And this is a community policing OMI community meeting Tuesday, October 25th at IT Bookman Community Center in Ocean View. For info, call 415-613-7200. This is actually a series of town hall meetings that have started back in January in the Bayview District and also in the Tenderloin and in the Mission District. It is kind of a controversial model, and we're watching, and we want to believe and trust and heal. But what I've been seeing going to those meetings is actually a whole bunch of city government supporters, homeowners association, merchant associations, a lot of city officials, including leaders of the faith who are getting substantial subsidies from the city. And it's a wonderful, charismatic display. There's a lot of stunning remarks that are being made about ending the war on the poor black and brown in San Francisco, but we want to see it at implementation level. And I want to believe, but we're watching very closely. Lieutenant Con Johnson, who is actually a minister who has been recently ordained by the Nation of Islam, has 19 years, I believe, on the police department, but as he stated, he has been black all his life. He has the respect and trust of the mission community and the black community in Bayview Hunters Point. However, the brother is kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because he wants to honor and protect his community, but at the same time, he is one of the agents of the bigger institution to the police that is protecting and serving the ruling class. So good luck, Lieutenant Con Johnson. We have our eyes on you, and we want to believe this is going to work out.
A delegation of guys, and we're gonna bury it right where it lay.
That's actually
because it's just a shame. It's totally criminal what they're saying. They're calling everybody looters. But I want to ask your audience to just think, just to close their eyes and think that if they have just lost everything that they had, and the city wasn't providing no services for them, and here's a building full of food.
You're now listening to Malik Rahim, an awful, awesome, awesome brother who was in New Orleans in September 4th describing the horror of Katrina.
Get out the city, but you're not providing no means for them to get out. If that's the reason why you find people stealing TVs and other things, because they're using it to barter themselves, to barter their way out of this city.
Hey, Malik, while we've got with this radio interview, we can, it can be passed around on the Internet and tens of thousands of people a day can hear it. Do you have, in part of
but
your...
Excuse me, you're going to have to speak up.
Oh, sure,
because,
yeah.
I don't have a good connection.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, you're saying that, if I understand right, your part of the city is in the west side, and it's high enough that
thanks.
It's... Yeah. All right. So in the description of it, sections of the city are not flooded.
Oh, no.
And you said,
we are not flooded at all.
Yeah, you said, I think in your post, that about 15 different schools are empty.
That's right, and not used for nothing.
Yeah, and then you've got a certain amount of churches and community centers.
Oh, yes. Listen, we had put a delegation of churches to go feed the evacuation coming from the areas that have been hardest hit.
Right, right. So
you know what we were told? We couldn't feed them because that would start a riot.
Right, right. Yeah. That's what they told Food Not Bombs 10 years ago, and the only riot was when the cops showed up.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering.
This is actually a 45-minute interview that was done by David Grace, and you can read a lot of articles from Malik on the San Francisco Bayview, which is our national black newspaper that is actually based in San Francisco Bayview Hunters Point, and Mary and Willie Ratcliffe are the editors. You can log on sfbayview.com and just type in your browser Malik Rahim, and you will get a lot of really interesting stuff from the brother. Now, as some of you may have found out already, and this is very somber, very mournful news, the Supreme Court decided to go on with the execution of Brother Stan Tukey Williams, who has been on death row for 23 years, who has been accused of 4 murders down in L.A., at the time that he was at the head of the Crips. He actually founded the Crips. He has claimed his innocence all along about those 4 murders. He owned the fact that he started the Crips, of course. But in the meantime, during all those years, the brother has formidably redeemed himself. He is 6 times nominee for the Nobel Prize for his children books that are actually meant to do prevention, to deter youngsters from joining the gang life, to joining the life. Interestingly enough, back in August, President Bush signed a national commendation to Tukey Williams for his good deeds. And of course, the government tried to backtrack two days later, because, I mean, that sends the whole nation, the consciousness, just into a roaring laughter. Bush is commending the man that he's trying to kill so bad. And they tried to backtrack, saying, well, you know, maybe he didn't read what he was signing. No, we cannot condone a dangerous killer like Tukey Williams. But guess what? I mean, this is a strategy on our side. It's like, error or not, he signed that commendation, okay? And that was read nationwide. They are planning to execute Tukey Williams on December 13. That sent chills to my spine. On a personal note, my mom died on December 13th, and my son was murdered by the police 4 years ago, 7 months after my mom's death, on June 13th. I'm not particularly superstitious, but that number has a lot of somber implications for me. And we are tired. We are tired of going to San Quentin to protest execution and to mourn and to do a candlelight vigil. Our people are being injected with legal drugs, legal assassinations. I was in San Quentin back in February when they murdered Donald Bursley, who was actually a mentally challenged man. And it actually took 45 minutes to kill him because they couldn't find a vein. Imagine the agony of this brother waiting to be killed until they find a vein, being poked and poked on the gurney over and over again. And just in passing, let's be very clear about this. There is nothing humane about legal injection versus lynching or the electric chair. Whether you're being fried or you're being hanged or you're being injected, it still boils down to the same thing. And talking about legal injections, lethal injections, Actually, the way this works is that the person is being given either Pentothal or Valium or a major tranquilizer so that they would supposedly go to sleep and then being injected during their sleep with digitalin or strychnine, any drugs that will induce a heart attack. But actually, in many cases, I can tell you that much from watching some videos and from recounts, sometimes the drug to induce sleep does not work on time. And I don't know if it's intentional or not. So that means that by the time the condemned person is being injected with digitalin or strychnine, they go to the agony, full-fledged agony of a heart attack. And I worked on the AIDS ward at San Francisco General for 10 years. I saw a lot of people die from a heart attack. And it takes a good 3-4 minutes of excruciating, agonizing pain and fear and terror for people to die of a heart attack. Okay? So make no mistake about it. Lethal injection is nothing humane. By the way, they are getting ready to kill two other people, one in January and one in February. I'm not sure about the names here, and I don't want to keep you hanging, but I will get back on this soon. There is a Native American brother who is actually 74 years old, who is scheduled to be killed after 20-plus years on death row in San Quentin in January, and also a Latino brother in February. So that means, peeps, we got to get busy. We got to get busy. Okay? And I received an interesting email yesterday from Angelides, whatever you want to call him, the Democrat who is running against Schwarzenegger for the next election, asking for Idris Deli Foundation endorsement. And baby, did I tear the butt up. I emailed it to the world, to all our mega lists about, are the Democrats going to get away with this? Or are they going to make a stand? Dear Mr. Angelides, we will not sponsor your candidature unless you make a strong stand against the death penalty in California. Because this candidate, who in every other aspect has a lot of cosmetic appeal, is actually supporting the death penalty. So remember that, folks, don't vote for him until he decides that it's a good strategic move and he will improve his constituency to change his mind. Be right back. Hello?
Hi, we're out by the front door.
Oh, this is my guest who's trying to get to the show. So, peace, you hang on for a second. I'm going to leave the studio and get Bob Nichols and his friend in the studio. We'll be right back.
That's what you're talking about.
Look at old Bumpy. Hey, Super.
Idea of this, but I tell you what, I still have. I have dead bodies that's laying in right off the street that has been laying there for a week that the city refused to even pick up. That tomorrow I've gotten a delegation of guys and we're going to bury it right where it lay.
That's actually...
Cause it's just a shame. It's totally criminal what they're saying. They're calling everybody looters. But I want to ask your audience to just think, just to close their eyes and think that if they have just lost everything that they had and the city wasn't providing no services for them, and here's a building full of food. Will they not go in there and take it to feed their children? If the city is telling you that the only way that you could get out of this city is as if you have money, because that's what you're telling them when you're telling people to get out the city, but you're not providing no means for them to get out. That's the reason why you find people stealing TVs and other things, because they're using it to barter themselves, to barter their way out of this city.
Hey, Malik, while we've got with this radio interview, we can, it can be passed around on the Internet and tens of thousands of people a day can hear it. Do you have, in part of your...
Excuse me, you're going to have to speak up.
Oh, sure,
because,
yeah.
I don't have a good connection.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, you're saying that, if I understand right, your part of the city is in the west side, and it's high enough that
thanks.
It's... Yeah. All right. So in the description of it, sections of the city are not flooded.
Oh, no.
And you said,
we are not flooded at all.
Yeah, you said, I think in your post, that about 15 different schools are empty.
That's right, and not used for nothing.
Yeah, and then you've got a certain amount of churches and community centers.
Oh, yes. Listen, we have put a delegation of churches to go feed the evacuation coming from the areas that have been hardest hit.
Right, right. So
you know what we were told? We couldn't feed them because that would start a riot.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what they told Food Not Bombs 10 years ago, and the only riot was when the cops showed up.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering, there are thousands and thousands of people willing and waiting on the edges to deliver stuff. You know, I know that there are various Food Not Bombs chapters that are feeding the people who are waiting to bring the stuff in. You know, so there is help waiting, but the various cops and stupid agencies are keeping people away. And so, this is on the evening of Sunday the 4th. We're doing this interview. Is there a location? We don't want people to know, come to your house, but is there, say, like a...
Listen, that's all right if they come right to my door.
Well, I'm just saying, is there a community center? Are there parks nearby that would be a good spot?
Oh, yeah, we have a perfect community center. Only thing about it is we have a dead body that's laying right on the side of it.
Well, tell people the general direction to come in...
If they can come to Algiers, that's all. Just come to Algiers. And once they get to Algiers, they can call me at area code 504-360.
You are listening to Malik Rahim, the awesome brother who has been documenting the disaster of Katrina. By the way, we resent the fact that, you know, Katrina sounds like a African-American woman name. You know what I'm saying? Which almost implies that there is a legitimacy for the criminalization of people of color in New Orleans. They should better start calling it like Steve or Doug. Anyhow, I just want to introduce my next guest. And this is Bob Nichols, who is actually a project censored award.
Yes,
a couple of times, as I understand.
Thank you very much. I'm honored.
And I'm just so thrilled to meet you face-to-face. We have been corresponding to the net until
the
wee hours of the night. And it's just such a pleasure and an honor to have you here today, Bob.
Thank you.
And I see that another one of your friends has been stepping in. And this is Lauren, right? Hi, welcome. And we also have Maurice Campbell, my good friend Maurice Campbell, one of the young at heart trooper of Bayview Hunters Point, who is also an anchor on Connecting the Dot in KPOO radio, and the director of Community Coalition, Community First Coalition. Welcome. I'm just so thrilled. I'm starting to stutter right now. I can't believe I got them peeps in my show today. And do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Lorraine Moray, and it's very nice to be here with my friend Maurice and Bob Nichols. And I've worked in the Hunters Point community on the radiation issue.
Oh, great. So that's why it's so important on the show today, is that we got Bob and Lauren, who can bring some out of a global perspective, and as well as Maurice could, of course. But Maurice Campbell can also bring it home. You know what I'm saying? When we're talking about war abroad and war at home, we're also talking about environmental racism and all its implications. And that goes back to actually when Hiroshima bomb was partially manufactured on the shipyard in Bejontis Point, right?
Yeah, that's correct, Misha. You know, but there's something that's a little bit more current, and those bombs were dropped on a minority communities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But 90% of all the toxic locations are in low-income and communities of color. Now, you've heard over the years low-income and communities of color shouting, hey, this stuff is killing us, it's killing us, it's killing us. And now all of a sudden now we have on the horizon global warming and climate change. I'll just say that for now.
Right. Bob, you told me some terrifying stuff yesterday that just raised my ear immediately. I said, oh no, brother, you need to come on the show. You were talking about radioactive sperm.
Oh, yes, yes. The American military has been manufacturing and using uranium weapons for years and years now. Of course, this all comes back to Bayview Hunter's Point, the Hunter's Point shipyard. There the weapons and the products from them were tested and disposed of. They're still in the shipyard. They're polluting the bay. And these products from these weapons are now used in bullets and shells and bombs fired by the military halfway around the world. In Iraq, of course, they make their way back here in the dust that comes from these things in the wind. And like I say, it all comes back to Hunter's Point.
Amazing, amazing. So, Lauren, you have a long-standing experience of environmental racism and pollution in Bayview, right?
Yes. Actually, I'm the past president of the Association for Women Geoscientists. And in 1995, at the American the Geological Society of America meeting in New Orleans, I, with a group of other minority geologists, introduced environmental justice to the scientific community.
What year was that again?
1995.
Amazing.
And we put an invited symposium together. We invited all the stakeholders, community activists from all over the United States. And people still are walking up to me today saying, that is the best session I ever went to.
What a stepping stone.
Yes. And in terms of environmental racism and Hunter's Point, we have a terribly polluted environment for the whole Bay Area here, going all the way to Sacramento. And it's from the secret Naval Radiological Defense Lab at Hunter's Point. And Maurice Campbell was just absolutely so important in finding information and doing research in the archives of the Navy. And I have to really thank him and admire him.
Maurice
for
is the walking Bible of Hunter's Point. He gave me a tour of all the parcels with the contamination.
Maurice is a very, very, very smart man, and he's got a lot of backbone, and these are just the people like you, like Bob, who are making the new media. We are the media.
That's right.
And I want to remind people that the racists like Clear Channel and Pat Robertson, their corporations are now going bankrupt, as well as Rush Limbaugh.
Well, hallelujah to that.
Hallelujah. So, in terms of the racism in the Bay Area, it's very interesting that the highest rates of breast cancer are in the Hunter's Point area. No wonder the Navy dumped lots of radioactive pollution into a back bay, filled it up. The whole environment is contaminated.
I understand that also there is a correlation between high power lines and non-Hodgkin lymphoma in children.
That
and we have the highest rate of birth defects.
That's right. And so what you have is chemical pollution, electrical pollution, and radioactive pollution, and they all act together, increasing the effect of each of them alone, so that the harm is multiplied when they're all together by 8 or 10 or more times. And the very high rates of breast cancer in Marin County are due to the radioactive fallout from bomb testing in the Sierra.
So now we're getting the attention.
Now we're getting the attention because it's white women who are dying.
Hey.
But they are blaming the white women for their lifestyles. It's because they jog, because they eat ice cream, because they watch TV, because they shop at Nordstrom.
Shame on them.
It's their fault, when in fact it is the radioactive pollution in the Sierra Nevada, also from the Rancho Seco nuclear power plant, which is washing through San Francisco Bay. It washes right past Marin County. And guess where the highest rates of breast cancer are? Around Marin City. It's where the mud flats are. And this gets lofted into the air, and that's where the blacks in Marin County live. So even in predominantly wealthy white areas, we see the environmental racism there too.
That's right. It was interesting when Angela Liotta was doing a mayoral campaign. I told Bob about that last night. And Dr. Ahimsa Samshai at the greenhouse, when we staged a launching party for Angela, did mention that when the wind blows, a lot of that pollution is going towards the marina. And I saw Angela immediately pick up a pencil and a piece of paper and say, "Can you corroborate this? Can I get the statistics?" Now we got the attention.
Yeah.
Whenever you say sex or you say wealthy whites, then you get the attention. Now, let's talk about mental health for a minute. Any of you would care to elaborate about the concomitants of impulse control that compounds with what is called like the gang culture, ADD, and the pollution in those contaminated sites?
Yes, maybe I can address part of that. And I wanted to thank Lauren for the compliment.
And Dr. Ahimsa Samshai.
And Dr. Ahimsa Samshai. One thing that the military has done is studies on the effects of radiation and studies on the effects of toxicity. Let's just take a area that they did a study of, and it was the United States Navy. And when the bomb testing was going on in the air, what they saw in Salt Lake, where a lot of people don't drink and don't smoke, they saw a noticeable decrease in the IQ.
Huh.
Military study. I'm not saying this. They are. Okay? So, and we know that certain toxins affect the learning ability of kids. You've heard this all over Baby Hunter's Point. Get the lead out of the stuff because it's affecting the kids. Manganese compromises the system for various vulnerabilities, and it's all over the shipyard.
How about mercury?
Mercury too, and a lot of these heavy metals are all around there because they were used in various stages. Now, what you have also is you have people that don't feel well. Kids can't learn. You have exposures. People think it's asthmatic conditions, but you know what? We really haven't had the doctors there to take a look and see if it is environmental.
Why the silence?
Illnesses. And pardon me?
Why the silence?
Why the silence?
Why so much secrecy?
Well, first of all, the military, NRDL, Naval Radiological Defense Laboratory, was the key research laboratory that spun off a lot of these laboratories like Lawrence Livermore, etc., in the Bay Area. And it is still covered up. Let me tell you what the task of NRDL was. NRDL was to study the radiation effects on people that were exposed to radiation. So what does that tell you? That says they knew more about the effects of radiation on people than anybody else. So when they stepped away from a base and they left a base dirty, Didn't they know what was going to happen to the people? Now, let's talk about, I want to do a couple of quick things, and I'll turn it back. The Farallon Islands is called a sanctuary, but it's a nuclear dump. And what happened is a lot of the 55-gallon barrels of radioactive materials and animals that left the shipyard went out the gate, supposedly to the Farallon Islands. If it was fogged in, guess what? It didn't get to the Farallon Islands. Divers found barrels on this side of the gate and the other side of the gate. So here you have the marina. Here you have Marin tying into what Loren was saying. And you have Hunter's Point. Funny, all these areas have very high breast cancer rate and other illnesses. Oh, no.
No correlation, correct?
Well,
we'll see. It's their fault.
Yeah.
Bob, I'm sorry. I was just wondering if you can bring it at a more global level at this point. How does that tie up with the wall of silence around contamination and the genocide that goes on worldwide? You were mentioning some statistics and horrendous fact about Asia last night.
Central Asia is really a target zone. All of Central Asia, as we know, Iraq is in Central Asia. And what the United States military and the senior political class in Washington have done is target Central Asia for their oil. And in order to get that, they're willing to contaminate the whole thing. Mm. Ramsey Clark estimates around 12 million pounds of really uranium dust has been scattered throughout Iraq. This is a grievous, really bad environmental crime, and the perpetrators are the military. Now, if you think that one of our guys, a trooper over there, can walk around in that environment breathing, they can't not breathe, so they breathe, and they have just as much chance as anybody else of breathing uranium oxide dust and bringing it back home.
What are the genetic implications?
When it gets in their bodies, it does not leave.
The future of their children.
When it gets in their bodies, it does not leave. It stays there. It's radioactive. It's chemically toxic, and it tends to migrate to their bones, to their brain,
radioactive semen,
and to their
right?
testicles. Now, when it gets in the testicles, it creates an alkali. That's hot. The alkali burns you. And what this alkali does when it gets in to their sperm, then they transmit it to their partners and to their wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, and it burns. Jeez. And it's a terrible, terrible, horrible thing to have happen to you. Lorraine, do you want to say something about that?
Yes. Bob and Maurice are absolutely correct. What the long-term effect of atmospheric testing is reflected in the drop in SAT scores for children born between 1945 and 1963 and later. And we can see that babies that were exposed in utero to radiation were terribly damaged, brain damaged, and the SAT scores for the entire nation dropped from 475 for children born before 1955 the SAT scores dropped to 420 or 425 by 1963. When the bomb test.
That's quite a great margin.
That's a great margin. When the bomb test, and that's for all children in the U.S., that's the national average. When the bomb testing ended in 1963, the SAT scores started to recover, but they never went back to what they had been before. So we are brain damaging an entire nation of children. The Journal of the American Medical Association did a World Mental Health Survey, or they reported a World Health Organization survey of mental health around the world, and the United States has the highest rate of mental illness in the world. It's from those 1,200 bomb tests. For over 26% of the U.S. population has some form of mental illness. In China and Nigeria, it's as low as 4%. In Japan, it's 8%. What in the world have we done to our country? And the secrecy of the A-bomb project has done more to destroy democracy than any other single factor.
Bob?
Pain that is felt by people that are in Iraq and then come back and try to make love with their loved ones or whoever is immense. What I want you to think about, Papes, is that there are people who are doing this on purpose. This is their plan. This is not an accident. This is premeditated. They're doing it with what we call, or what's called, malice.
Managed mayhem is another word for it.
Yes, yes. It's all on purpose, and these people need to be put away.
It's global murder. It's global murder. It's omnicide. It's a war against all living things on this planet. It affects the microbes. We're going to see pandemics of viruses and bacterial epidemics. It's already starting.
I wonder if it would have any implications in terms of those strain of viruses now that are so rapidly volatile and moving, like the HIV that is
HIV
that is mutating so fast that you cannot get a stable therapy around.
HIV is a military disease that was made in military laboratories.
I have an interesting story about that. My son's godfather, who passed away last year of cancer, was the medical director of Letterman Hospital. And he told me, back in 1986, and he told me, you can't quote me because I would say that you were crazy and I never said such thing, that he actually saw documentation between the Soviet Union at the time and U.S. accusing each other to have started to manipulate the HIV virus first.
Well, you know, you're talking about this, but UC tied in with the NRDL, Naval Radiological Defense Laboratories, and did plutonium injections into people.
Oh, lovely.
Now, Loren has seen the research. I've seen the research. Other people have seen the research information. Right here, part of it was done right here in San Francisco. There is something that we really need to look at as Bob pointed out, hey, look at what's happening to the world and what's taking place. Now, one of the things that we're not really addressing with this whole thing is the whole global warming issue. The carbon-based products, petroleum-based products, have wiped out better than 30% of our ice on ice shelf, and this has recently happened in a couple of years. That this ice shelf has been in place for thousands of years, and you want to talk about alteration of genetics. We all know what happens when you get radiation exposures to the DNA, and I think both Loren and Bob can talk about that very, very clearly, because it does modify the DNA.
Oh yes, yes, without any question. The exposure in Iraq is to what's called ceramic oxide, and that's a tiny, tiny particle that, as it gives off these little, think of them as little bullets inside your body. These little bullets travel with a short space that hits a cell, and that cell is utterly ramshackled as it moves through there with enormous force and literally changes, alters, cascades the DNA. As that cell then multiplies, of course, it is a cancer. And I want you to think that the people that are doing this are doing it on purpose. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I'd like to point out NRDL, and I know Lauren can address this probably better than I can. Well, NRDL formed a radiation committee, and this radiation committee later on went on to form the EPA.
Dr. Stanley Thompson.
Right, Dr.
And
Stanley Thompson.
EPA for lay people stands for...
Environmental Protection Agency. You know what? What they were trying to do with this, by having this committee and this forum take place, it was trying to enforce these relaxed standards that they could get away with the radiological and toxicological impacts on people. And so what we've seen since then is almost every year, the radiation standard comes down a little bit lower, a little bit lower, a little bit lower. These people at Hunter's Point were the ones that were responsible for these standards. The Decimeter badge that people wear for exposure to radiation, it was developed at Hunter's Point.
Tell me, is all the parcels, all the buildings passing radioactivity clearance now in Hunter's Point?
Well, no. Let me give you a little bit about how it works. There's a big glass building out there. It's called Building 253. It's a green building. The EPA,
sounds like it glows in the dark.
Yeah, EPA sent out a scan van, and the scan van can only work on surface roads.
Right.
And it was next to 253 and did not find any radiation. Okay?
Did they go inside?
Well, that's the point we're getting to. 253 is contaminated from the roof to the basement.
Mm.
And where do you think this stuff goes after it's on the roof? Do you think it just stops on the roof or it kind of gets picked up by the wind and goes out into the community? I'll let Lauren.
I've noticed that up on the hill when on the clear blue sky, beautiful weather and no wind, you don't see one bird. You don't see one bird on up on the hill. No pigeon, no blackbird.
Well,
they know better.
The Navy had a potassium permanganate spill, and their Navy BRAC officer, base realignment and closure officer, said, "Oh no, there's smart fish, so the fish is going to stay away from the spill." Okay, well, that's the same concept with the birds. The birds sense something is there, and we're not in tune to this. And we
talk about the fish. I used to crab right behind a candlestick called Monster Park. Now I can't even muster that. But I remember seeing this warning by the water say, any fish longer than 16 inches throw it back because the level of lead and mercury in their liver will kill you. And it also says, if you want to eat that fish no more than once a month, for recipes called the control poisons.
let me just take you to a picture. I'm going to give you a website that shows the whole old Hunter's Point pictures. It's called islascreek.org, islaiscreek.org.
Okay.
Do you know what Hunter's Point was famous for?
Shrimp.
It was a fishing capital.
Yes, it was.
Wow. It was.
It was an Italian fishing village.
Right.
That's now,
right.
All we can do is some lethal sushi all around the...
Well,
year.
Let me explain why a place that has had radioactive activities conducted, why it continues to be radioactive. I'm actually a geoscientist, and so I study the Earth and Earth processes, and it's a very good background for radiation because you begin to understand how it recycles through the environment.
Because it never disappears, right?
It never disappears, no. And so there was a huge laboratory at Hunter's Point with 550 civilian scientists and 65 naval officers supervising them. There were huge amounts of radioactive materials and dead animals and waste and barrels and drums of waste that was all dumped into the Back Bay right next to Hunter's Point. And it's now covered with a cap. It's called a landfill. But landfills are living things, and they continue to ferment and belch and burp and bubble and release.
Is that why we had a fire that wouldn't stop for 4 months?
Yes, that's right. And so these landfills are emitting all this toxic radioactive methylated gases, and people just drop dead in the streets in Hunter's Point when these fires are going.
We ought to stop crying out about Tuskegee. Tuskegee is well and thriving.
Yes.
Can I say something right there? NRDL, let's go back to the Naval Radiological Defense Laboratory. What they were supposed to do is study people, study animals, and study the exposure. Now, what Loren and Bob can tell you is you can shut down a base, but if a base has been radioactive, maybe the experiment hasn't been shut down.
That's
right.
There
are over 300 artists. Most of them are white in the shipyard. That's one. So you have a concentrated group of whites. In the surrounding community, you have Pacific Islanders and black and Latino population. You want to study? You want to see what exposures do? And mind you, we're hearing the statistics on asthma. We're hearing what looks like asthma, the statistics on breast cancer, congestive heart failure, all of these factors. The question is, did the experiment ever lymphoma? Right,
yeah.
Lymphoma sits hand in hand with leukemia. As a matter of fact, the supervisor, her son died at what, age 27, 28?
Sophie Maxwell.
Right, of lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only a few things that can trigger lymphoma. One is high concentrations of benzene or radioactive materials.
The implications
are
huge. Because, you know, a lot of folks in our neighborhood are living. We have good friends who have been, you know, whose family have been there for generations, saying, I'm going to Tennessee. I'm going south. But what we don't get is that we can take the kid out of the radiation, but we cannot take the radiation out of the kid.
And that's,
you hear me?
That's correct. And also, people who have been exposed to radiation in utero or as children or even as adults, they may not have genetic damage, but they have damage. And that damage is passed on to their children. So each generation...
It's a transformation at the cellular level, correct?
Yes, it is. And the RNA, and there are many, many, many parts of the cell and cell function that are damaged. And this is passed on to children. It's inherited.
All right, folks, what can we do here?
We have to stop all the radiation.
What is our plan of action?
We have to
concrete.
We have to shut down nuclear power plants. We have to shut down the depleted uranium weapons. We have to shut down the nuclear weapons program. Or this planet is doomed. We have turned this planet already into a Death Star. The amount of depleted uranium released into the atmosphere since 1991 is the atomicity equivalent of 400,000 Nagasaki bombs. We are living already in a global nuclear holocaust.
What are the strategy tools at our level? Because, you know, it's really important that the information is out. We can't kid ourselves anymore. But I could see how people can get demoralized and say, well, we're doomed, so what the hell? I'm just going to do my best for the time being. What are the strategy tools that us, every lay people, including you experts and troopers, can apply in our lives at a local and global level around this scandalous scam and genocide?
Let me address that partially. It actually is taking hold, because how long have we been talking about radiation exposures for people? How long have we been speaking about depleted uranium exposures? How long have we been speaking about toxic exposures? How long have we been speaking about global warming? And now we're seeing some of the very agencies, conservative agencies, coming around and saying, whoops,
we have a problem. So what we have to do is keep doing what we have been doing. Keep talking. Keep sharing information. Educating one another. That is something that we have to do. We have no other choice.
For lay people like me, you know, with English as a fourth language, it is difficult sometimes to read very technical documents. What do you recommend in terms of reliable source and like that really breaks it down for people to understand the amplitude of the problem and what we can start doing?
Misha, do you remember back in the 10th or 9th grade when, as you went into one class and then another, you saw on the wall there a piece of paper, a chart, and it said, Table of the Elements. Everybody in the world who has even slept through a 9th or 10th grade science class has seen that. And everybody in the world you don't even have to graduate from high school.
We read it out, my brother.
Everybody has seen that. And through that, just walking past that in the discussion about it, everybody knows that hydrogen is up on the top and the iniums, the uranium and the others are on the bottom and that they're bad. They're radioactive, and they kill you. And that's all we really have to know. The monsters in our government who are using this stuff on purpose and have been doing so for 50 years need to go straight to prison. We have to depend upon ourselves as the media. We can't depend on things like the dominant newspaper culture, the dominant culture newspaper, the Chronicle. What a joke when this came out about Marin County. Their so-called environmental editor said, well, it must be the hot tubs and the wine.
Some people are not redeemable. I remember the major orchestrator of Tuskegee experiment being interviewed, and he said, what? I could have chose the hillbillies and I chose the niggers. So what?
Well, you know, they're a little bit more sinister than just that. In Hunter's Point, and let's go back to...
all goes back to Hunter's Point.
Exactly. The ship, the Indianapolis, under skippered by Captain Charles McVeigh, took two devices, and he took those two devices to Tinian Island, where he met up with a plane called the Enola Gay. After he delivered the devices, he set the Trans-Pacific record, both to Hawaii and to Tinian Island. What they did after that, he was on a brand new retrofitted cruiser, and it was a handpicked crew, the best of the best. And after they delivered these nuclear devices, he asked for a submarine escort. He was denied an escort, and he was going into known submarine waters. The interesting thing about a cruiser is a cruiser doesn't carry sonar. And consequently, the last ship of World War II to be sunk was his ship. Okay, after he delivered the bomb, he was told to maintain radio silence, which they did. And after the ship sunk, out of 1,400 men, I think 600 men survived. Many of them were eaten by sharks. He was the only skipper of World War II to be court-martialed to keep him quiet. So what they do, there's another place that they have used a court-martial to keep people quiet, and that was Port Chicago, where they wanted to keep some black folks quiet about a blast that they experienced and not talk about it. It was Port Chicago. So here you have two similar programs, and you want to talk about cover-up, and then you want to talk about disinformation and scapegoating people who come out and say, hey, you got a problem. Lauren can tell you about
this. Maurice, Bob, you must make some pimps of the poorest here mighty nervous. because you have information that is vital for our community. You break it down. And we have means to stop this, correct?
That's right. I'm a Livermore Lab nuclear weapons lab whistleblower, and I blew the whistle in 1991 on science fraud, contractor fraud, all kinds of fraud, health and safety violations, sex discrimination, ethnic discrimination, you name it. You name it. It's the worst working environment I have ever, ever, ever seen or experienced. And that's when I realized there's no difference between the United States and the former Soviet Union.
Mm.
And I remember looking out the window in my laboratory, and I said, this is a culture of insanity and lies. And I packed everything in my car. I drove out the gate. I dropped off my badge and my beeper.
Right on.
And anyone can read about the horrific Karen Silkwood experience I had for the next 14 years, because they're still doing it to me, breaking into my house, stealing my car, wrecking my engine. It's in a book called Warrior Mothers. Warrior Mothers. And this is a very, very good book. It's interviews with 24 mothers who took up an environmental issue to make it a better world for their children. And Sarah James, the Eskimo in Alaska, is in the book. Helen Caldicott, who's fought nuclear power plants and so forth. There are just many, many wonderful mothers.
Warrior mothers.
And you were asking, what can we do? How can we address these terrible issues? Get that book and read it. It's so inspiring.
I shall.
It's just one person who can make the change.
There you go. It takes a village. There's no I between without
That's
us,
right.
No us
and
without
I. It's your radio program and Maurice's efforts and Hunter's Point and Bob's efforts to write about depleted uranium. And it's the collective impact that really makes the difference. And 2 weeks ago in the United Nations, President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela got up and he started talking about the problems around the world and the solutions. And he said there are problems that no single country can solve alone, such as radioactive clouds. He was talking about depleted uranium.
Viva Hugo Chavez!
Eso! And right after him, President Ahmadinejad of Iran got up and talked about the illegal use of depleted uranium by the U.S. So our message, we've been screaming about DU, some people since 1991, and it's finally, finally getting into the global conscience.
Lauren, I'd like to bring up a reminder to the people out there as we talk about the problems. Pat Robertson, supposedly a man of the cloth, talked about assassination about one of the very people that you just spoke about.
Yes,
so
that was Pat Robertson, Reverend.
Reverend Pat Robertson.
He has what is called the 700 Club, and he gets up there and he literally said that we needed to assassinate President Hugo Chavez.
Right.
And this Robertson, his dad was a senator, a United States senator. So growing up as a boy, he was exposed to all manner of discussions, no doubt, about killing people and killing leaders and assassinating people. So it, as a 70-year-old man, it translates to his mumbling on his television show seen by millions of people to assassinate one of the greatest leaders in the Western world.
Mr. Congeniality, pass the barf bucket.
An indigenous leader, Hugo Chavez.
Yes.
Hugo Chavez is an indigenous leader. And who came to the help of the citizens of New Orleans and the states in the South devastated by hurricanes? Hugo Chavez was almost the very first person, and Bush said, no, thank you.
Right.
Well, Bush's mother also made a statement about the people of New Orleans that were devastated,
that was precious,
that they're probably better off now.
Yeah, and let's support every black baby in the U.S.
And that
right?
was Bennett.
Yeah.
And then there was
yeah.
One other statement, and God, he is from Louisiana, representative, and he talked about public housing being cleared out, and he said not even, they couldn't do it, but God did it for him. So that just talks to the state of mind. What you're seeing is people are suddenly getting tired of the exposures because people are suddenly realizing that things have been covered up so long, they want it covered up. They want it uncovered, excuse me. There are many challenges. Look at the challenge to the war. Look at George Bush's numbers. There's a change coming.
Look at the indictments. There are 22 indictments that are going to be served on these criminals in the White House and in the Pentagon within the next week or two because Patrick Fitzsimmons' six grand juries have been digging and digging and digging and digging. We're going to see some accountability. But
just the tip of the iceberg. Are digging.
Just remember, those people are the matador's cape. The matador just gets a new cape. We need to attack the matador. And the Marine colonel, the Filipino-American Marine colonel who was just arrested for treason in Cheney's office. He's been there two presidential administrations, Clinton and George Bush. This is getting much closer to the matador.
And actually, I'm not sure that we have to keep having a Manichaean view of the system about the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. It's not about that. It's like they are puppet to the ruling class, and they are really, and the ruling class is a puppet to the cartels. It's all about the economy, you guys.
It's a triad, and this is what the New World Order is and what it's always been in individual countries. It's the ruling elite and the military and the underworld, the criminal element. And what is happening, for instance, in Japan, you have the imperial family, you have the yakuza, the criminal element, and the Japanese military. Well, what they're doing is they are blending or they're knitting together the criminal elements all over the world, the ruling elite all over the world, and the military all over the world. Mm. So we're having a global, unified system which no one can escape from. Where can we go? If
except
it's the
that
same
they can
everywhere.
Escape for each other, from each other. When Noriega got in trouble, Bush Sr., who had been doing major drug deals with him, finally shunned him and invaded Panama.
Well, you know,
when they were best friends up to then.
We the people have somebody that believes in us, and that's the planet. The planet is starting to deliver a message that if you don't hear, you're going to see. And look, this so-called ruling class elite is not immune from this. It's already starting to happen. Take a look at what's happening to the ice shelf. And they're talking about if the Gulf Stream stops, we got serious problems. Doesn't matter how many billions you have. It doesn't matter.
It affects all of us.
It affects all of us. So you're going to see a lot more people joining our stances now.
Because even in the Christian right, some people are starting to develop some doubts right now.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, there are some people in the Christian right that believe in this rapture, and people are wondering if some of those leaders are in place, and they're hoping that things go off on a tilt the way they have been. But there are other people that are waking up, and they're saying, you know, we got to make a change, and we got to make a change now. No ifs, ands, or buts. Now.
You ask what can we do, and really, and to everybody who's listening, this is a superb radio show. It's one of the few around. The dominant culture does not appreciate this, but the only person that you can depend on is yourself. Mm. You have to tell your neighbor. Only way this works is you have to tell your neighbors.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, what is going to determine whether humanity survives or not, and a lot of other species in this century, are our energy choices. When I left the Livermore lab and became a whistleblower, the Western Regional Inspector for the Nuclear Weapons Lab said to me, the nuclear weapons labs exist for the Pentagon, and the Pentagon exists for the oil companies. So that's very, very clear. The nuclear weapons are for nuclear blackmail to steal the resources of other countries. Hugo Chavez is now the president of the country in the world that has the greatest oil and natural gas resources.
It all ties together.
Yes. Hugo Chavez and Venezuela have 50% of the oil and gas.
Did you say 50%?
50% of what all Middle Eastern countries have. There were new discoveries this summer. And so we need to go and steal those. That's what our military is for. And what Henry Kissinger said after Vietnam, which was the first chemical war for oil,
right.
Agent Orange.
Right.
Henry Kissinger said, well, military men are just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy.
Here you go.
He made the mistake of telling a reporter that, too.
Maurice.
Well, what's really funny, the reason why you're seeing me with a tie on, I was at the Rules Committee of San Francisco Board of Supervisors. They wanted to put me on the community choice aggregation, which means we're going to have a say in San Francisco in picking our power sources. And in my words, we're going to go renewable, clean energy, alternative energy, and energy efficiency.
We're talking LED.
We're talking all of that, and because the fossil fuel carbon based policy nightmare is coming to an end on its own, the whole peak oil crisis, and we as a city have the opportunity to help our people. We should have solar on churches.
Now we're talking.
Solar on churches, mm-hmm. on schools, anywhere that you have large gatherings of people. Possibly factories. Because what happens in an earthquake, the grid comes apart. And if you have individual solar-powered major operations, you can sustain life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nature of the beast. And we're also talking about that in helping to clean up the environment of our planet. We know what these guys have done with DU, depleted uranium. We know what they've done with fossil fuels.
And nuclear weapons.
And mm-hmm. nuclear weapons. We know. Now it's time for a change.
And the most important thing in this century is for municipalities to own their own energy and water companies. Remember what happened in the energy crisis. We got absolutely rolled over, fleeced, mm-hmm. stomped, and ripped off. That was all manipulated. And,
we're being ripped off right now.
We're being ripped off right now. And Sacramento and one or two other cities in California never had an increase in their energy bills all through that crisis. The reason is because the ruling elite know that by owning utilities, they can generate vast, vast fortunes.
Wow.
And the British royal family owned and invested in those big Texas energy companies that ripped off California. The British royal family privately owns over $6 billion in uranium holdings. They are poisoning their own country for-profits? Do you think they care about us?
Talking about natural disaster, I found out recently that the whole outskirt of the freeways around the city here of San Francisco is built in such a way that if there is an earthquake, there is a flood, guess what? We're trapped like rats. Only city officials are getting out.
That's why we have to protect
our
people.
What can we do about that?
Well, first of all, communications takes power.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to communicate with the outside world. Several of our highways, 101 by Brisbane is below sea level by Candlestick Park. That'll break. Bay Bridge, the last time there was a major earthquake,
of course,
the bolts that held up the cantilever section sheared. So just by luck, it stayed in place.
However, the cement is cracked on the pilings that go down into the seawater, and the rebar is exposed and rusting. And a diver who went down and inspected it after the Loma Prieta earthquake told me that.
Whoa.
Well, and where was Loma Prieta? Loma Prieta was way the heck down by Santa Cruz. If that had happened on the Hayward Fault, where would we be today? If it happened on the San Andreas Fault, up by Daly City or something like that, where would we be today? And I'm not even talking about the big one. So we as people have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters and everybody else. You know, they have royally screwed our earth. They have poisoned it with radiation. They have continued down with fossil fuels and their ugly carbon-based policies. And if we let them get away with us, we won't have a planet left.
But not only that, many people are not aware that the new weapons that have been developed at the nuclear weapons laboratories and by other countries are using planet Earth as a weapon. And with huge antennas, large array antennas that are constructed around the Arctic Circle, it's called HARP, High Altitude Auroral Research Project.
Can you say that again?
HARP, H-A-A-R-P.
Okay.
High Auroral, what did I say? Altitude Research Project.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
They can direct energy using those antennas. They're huge amounts of energy in the Earth's magnetic field. They can trigger earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and they can increase the power of or the level of danger of hurricanes, and they can even guide them and steer them. And we believe, many people, many scientists believe that Katrina was manipulated by HARP. And I have seen a photo from the NASA website with a huge beam of energy going into the eye of Katrina. And it was originally a level 2 earthquake, which was amped up to a level 5.
Hurricane.
Yes, a hurricane. What did I say? Yeah. I mean a hurricane. And
this is not paranoid, right?
No. Oh no, they have bills passed in Congress about weather manipulation. And no, this is not paranoid. There's lots of government documents. I don't talk about anything until I have the government documents. Then they can't challenge those.
You know, what's sad, but it's also good at the same time. There's a wake-up call going on. There are serious floods going on across the country. Colorado just had a major snowstorm. Okay? We all know about New Orleans and what
Texas.
Took... And some of the coastal states right at, bordering on the Gulf. Wake-up call? Hey, it's the 11th hour. And 12 o'clock, that bell rings.
That's beaucoup call.
And there's a wonderful new book about this, using planet Earth as a weapon of war. The book title is Planet Earth.
Planet Earth.
It's by Dr. Rosalie Bertell.
Okay.
B-E-R-T-E-L-L. And she describes the weather manipulation and how they are using, redirecting the natural energy of the earth to use as a weapon against targeting individuals and populations.
So now I got to buy two books, right? Warrior Mothers and Planet Earth. Are you guys going to give us some links that folks can get into to get more?
Sure. I just wanted to say something to Lorraine.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with the Heart Project because, we looked at it and its association of what went on in Montauk and some of the other places. However, Lorraine, if you don't have a polar ice cap, you're not going to have any place. And one thing, very simple, Mother Nature, the polar ice cap allows the sun to be reflected back into the atmosphere. All right? What happens is when you lose a lot of the ice shelf and the ocean is warm, that gets absorbed and increases the speed of the demise of the cap.
Does that have to do with global warming?
Oh, yes. It all ties together. Look, how long have we heard low-income and minority communities screaming, hey, the toxics are killing us, the radiation is killing us, etc. But nobody wanted to listen.
Because
how long have we heard people say, hey, global warming, etc. How long have we heard people say we need alternative fuel, we need to go to renewables? Okay, now it's all coming to a critical timetable, the 11th hour.
And what's happening is these greedy elite and the corporations know that. This is all falling apart now. And what is happening right now, and I've written about it in a series of articles called UC Regents Lose Management Contract for Nuclear Weapons Labs. And I know I hit right on the nail of the head. Because the very next day I had emails from Bechtel, from the Carlyle Group, and from the Nuclear Weapons Lab. I just went to the UC Regents meetings. But what is happening, by going to the UC Regents meetings, I discovered our nuclear weapons program is being hijacked to Texas under the control of the Bushies, the Carlyle Group, and the Navy.
Interesting.
And it is going to be privatized.
What are we going to do about biotech coming to Southeast College in Bayview at this point? How many solvents are we going to have to muster now?
Well, part of the concept of the biotech industry, and that ties us into the Third Street Light Rail. There were diesel buses running up and down Third Street. I think that's the number 15. Right. Now, all of a sudden, there's these pretty stations going in, overhead lights, and when they were doing the Third Street Light Rail, they stored the stuff on the sidewalk, so they wiped out a lot of the indigenous business that was there, black and low income, cleaned it out. So if you look at this Third Street Light Rail, and you look at what happened, and very few local people worked on that. People came from other communities. The local people were made the crossing guards. Hey, hold up the sign. Let somebody go across the street. Then you have to ask, who was Third Street Light Rail really for?
Gentrification.
You know that from 37% black population, we're now down, I found out last night at Nation of Islam, 7% in San Francisco.
Does that
7% of African Americans?
Does that surprise you?
So that means the genocide is way underway, and
they have chased the black population out of San Francisco. Hunter's Point is the last stronghold.
The last bastion.
It has the blacks in Hunter's Point are the biggest percentage of homeowners in the Bay Area. Right. They own their own homes. They worked in the shipyard. They were very careful with their money. This war on terrorism. There's a new book by Michelle Shostakovsky. I have lots of copies of it if anybody wants to email me and get a copy.
What is your email address?
My email is Lorraine Moray, L-E-U-R-E. N-M-O-R-E-T.
So Moray, like the French Moray, right?
Yes, at yahoo.com. And this book, America's War on Terrorism, exposes the globalization of poverty. It shows and exposes that the war on terrorism is really the American government's war on our own people.
Cool.
And it all comes back to Hunter's point.
I'm sorry, Bob. Would you also, before we get off the air today, give some very concrete means of people to log into some of those links about your work, about solutions?
Or won't we just put it all on your website or on one of your Yahoo groups?
Cool. Maybe the Enough BVHP.
There you go.
But not everybody has computers.
That's true.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
Well, let me tell folks quickly about the website. I'm not going to spell it out and drag it out for you all. But if you type Enough BVHP in your browser, you will get on the website.
And it all comes back to Bayview Hunter's Point. We must remember that it started at Bayview Hunter's Point, and really, and it comes back there. We have to continue our struggle. If we don't, we're just doomed. When I look at New Orleans, which I always call Nawlins, the way you're supposed to, but look at New Orleans and then San Francisco and Bayview Hunter's Point, and I must say, I think, well, Misha, what's the difference?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Bob, if I may address some things, and Lauren, one thing, during time of war and crisis, Bayview Hunter's Point had to be developed, and they brought a black population in. They brought a black population in because that's how that home ownership came about. They had to do a job. They had to be able to deliver. They had to be able to build. Under critical times, because we were at war with Japan and Germany. And guess what? The black folks delivered.
That's
correct. And so consequently, when you see a picture painted that black folks are shiftless or lazy or uneducated, that's garbage. That is garbage. I think you've seen black folks screaming about some things in their communities, toxics, environment, etc. Now I think the rest of the world is starting to wake up to it.
Yes, as so goes Bayview Hunter's Point, so goes America and the rest of the world. It's all the same thing.
I do interviews on television and radio stations all over the world, and I can tell you that the images of what happened in New Orleans will never be forgotten. That was, oh my God, so horrible. It was such blatant racism. It was just impossible not to see it, even for the American people. And I think this has contributed to the problems that Bush is in now. Certainly he'll never recover from the disaster that he created with Katrina in responding to that disaster. But around the world, the image of America has been so tarnished. It has been so changed in the minds of people who thought of America as a bastion of democracy and equality. And look how women and children are treated in America. They're just a commodity. Look how experimentation happens with our soldiers. There's a new film called Beyond Treason that I was interviewed for, and it's about the history of treason against our own soldiers. They've always been guinea pigs. Atomic veterans, MK Ultra, secret mind control experiments, Agent Orange in Vietnam, and now this depleted uranium and the anthrax. The whole country, every citizen is a guinea pig. Whether pregnant women who are injected with radiation or their children are exposed to horrible toxins in the corporate food, the medicines and the pharmaceuticals. This is all garbage. The American people have been so tricked and looted and just experimented on. It's a long history.
Consequences instead of going to the cause, right?
You know, the thing about that whole psychological spin, mind control, manipulation of people, it has an endpoint. And anybody with 1 billion to 100 billion, if they think it's going to save them in any sense from what's taking place, because when you have our world, and our world is starting to say, hey, we got a problem. Now, a lot of the European nations are starting to look at it because they've been impacted by floods, other things that are taking place. The genetics, plant growth, plankton that sustains life, it's all changing.
Mm.
And if people don't wake up, this is it.
Bob?
Everybody who wants to participate in saving our planet and saving Bayview Hunter's Point, which is the world, contact Misha. Contact Misha. She's the person who knows. She is the media. Misha is the media.
Also, people who are interested in supporting the truth should support the San Francisco Bayview newspaper. It's exactly. The Hunter's Point Community
National
Paper.
National Black Newspaper.
It's absolutely an absolutely wonderful paper. It's where I began writing.
None of you have contributed into
and
the
we've
Francisco
all
Bayview.
Contributed. It's a wonderful paper. It's read all over the world. They get a million hits a month on their website, and you're going to read things there that you'll never see in the mainstream media.
That's right.
And I began writing because I looked for Martin Luther King Day in the San Francisco Chronicle. There wasn't even a mention of him. I wrote an article mm-hmm. about him because he was such a wonderful, mm-hmm. great American. And like the blacks, in our country, we have to admire the black contribution and the black leadership contribution. They are always
swept under the rug.
They are always on the front lines.
Especially in the scientific world.
They're always on the front lines. They're on the front lines on the battlefield. They're on the front lines.
We got one fierce soldier here, Mr. Maurice Campbell.
They're on the front lines in terms of leadership and social change. They're on the front lines, and we have to recognize and thank the black community for the tremendous contributions they've made to our country.
And when Malik was here from New Orleans, he was here to make speeches
We're
and raise money
Manny,
for New Orleans.
Right?
Yes, yes, as he said in one of the presentations that he did that I was there, the first and only, the first person, the first newspaper, the first media to call him when he put out the plea for help to
the
United States media was Mary Ratcliffe at
the
San Francisco
right.
Bayview. And so for me, that's the only newspaper there is.
We love Mary and Willie and appreciate what they're doing. And we appreciate you too, Misha. And congratulations because you're contributing to wrecking the mainstream media.
Hey, what else are we gonna
and do? What has happened is because of stations and programs like yours, where people can really hear news and local news and bigger news.
Exactly.
It is,
what do they talk about alternative radio? What choice do we
it
have
is,
really? Alternative to what?
The effect is that it's taking advertising away from mainstream media, and many newspapers are facing bankruptcy now. So people would rather read information on the Internet. They would rather listen to micro radio stations. Americans are absolutely starved for
That's
real
true.
Information
That's
and news. And when you see CNN in the United States and then you go to Europe or Asia and see it, they have a totally different CNN program with much more information in other countries.
There you go.
Because no one in those countries would put up with the crap they put on into the media here.
Maurice, any last word of wisdom?
Yes, Misha. It's very, very important in what you're doing in getting the word out accurately, honestly, what people need to know. Because in the society, information is more censored than possibly any other country anywhere. And we say, oh, no, there is no censorship. But you tune into some of these world radio stations and different things, and the rest of the world is starting to wake up. Because if you take the New Orleans incident, other countries were screaming about what was going on in New Orleans before the very media in this country picked it up. Okay? So it's very, very important to keep on doing what you're doing. Get the word out and get changes. Because if we're going to save each other, we're only going to do it if we can make those changes.
And we piggyback each other. Tomorrow I'm going to be on Maurice Campbell's show, Connecting the Dot on KPOO. Bob?
That's all I remember that when Hugo Chavez was sending a million barrels of oil, gasoline, to the United States. Condi Rice was in New York buying a $7,000 pair of shoes.
Don't get me started.
Start, Misha. Go!
You are listening to the powerful voices of Bob Nichols, Maurice Campbell, and Lauren Moray.
Lauren Moray.
And, you know, I mean, those are fierce troopers out here. You, the bomb. Oh, I mean, our kind of bomb. Enemy ears might be listening here. And, you know, for all of us who are green card, right, like aliens from the real planet, they can actually, there's a very fine line now between dissident and terrorist. Actually, they just applied the word terrorist for in domestic violence. Because it's a very safe ground to say, you know, this batterer was making terrorist threats. Okay, because, of course, batterers are not very popular in our general community. So that's one ground that was safe, a strategy that was demagogically safe to call batterers terrorists. But we're next. But, you know, they can deport me at the drop of a hat with other activists on green card. That's all right, though, you know, with my connection with the separatists. It's a movement, I'll come back. I'll be back under, you know, Lupita Cha-Cha-Cha or something. So we're still going to be around.
You know, well, one thing that you have to take into consideration is people. And a true government is a government of people. And what we're seeing now, we're seeing numbers. And you've got to realize that the Bush administration has had millions, if not billions of dollars, to handle corporate media, and many of the multi-millionaire, billionaire families, okay, corporate media. But if he has all of that and his numbers are declining, and they're declining rapidly, what is that signaling to you? What does it mean to you? It means something's inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
It means people are not going for the old spin or the okey-doke. They want truth.
That's what I'm talking
about. And your program is delivering truth. That's what people need. And people will seek out what they need.
That's right. And that's why we're called San Francisco Village Voice, where everyone has a voice. Except when the youngsters come, I'm asking them to clean up their material because, you know, the cursing, spontaneous cursing that happens can get us into a lot of trouble. So I want to thank you again so much for coming in the show. You know, you don't need to be booked ahead of time. I am proud to say this is Ghetto Radio, okay? And you can just show up every Wednesday from 12 to 1 until, unless actually we went a little bit overboard today because the subject was so terrifying and so tantalizing at the same time, because we do have a voice and means to turn things around.
And so hopeful, too.
That's right.
We're not here to make people feel terrible and to only talk about the problem. There are many things we can do, and we just need to begin, even with a letter to the editor of the local newspaper.
Excellent. And again, before we get off the air, if you can give those links on the internet or those numbers for folks who want to stay afloat about what's going on and the simple, concrete solutions that they can take at their local level and then at global level. Bob Nichols still want to refer to me. I'm the authority here. But
I think Bob should refer to you. My email address is mecsoft, mecsoft at pacbell.net. And I do have
again?
Mecsoft, mecsoft pacbell.net.
And this is Community First Coalition?
That, yeah. Okay. The other thing is I have a website, www.mechresources.com. It has a lot of the background, shipyard information, some of the stuff that the Navy probably wouldn't want out there, but it's
and
there.
Let's take this opportunity to give a big shout out to Dr. Ahimsa Sanchai, our environmentalist doctor. Hey, we love you.
If people are interested in learning more about radiation around nuclear power plants, atmospheric testing, and depleted uranium, there's a great website. It's www.radiation.org. And I work with a group of scientists. We've collected 6,000 baby teeth from children living around nuclear power plants.
Amazing.
We are expert witnesses in lawsuits against nuclear energy companies. There's a really big one coming up in January in Florida. It's a landmark case.
Okay.
We've done the baby teeth study all over California. I've collected baby teeth in Japan. And our California study showed that as soon as we shut down Rancho Seco in 1989, all races, all diseases, all ages, the health improved, health quality improved by 10%.
Whoa.
All of our drinking water comes from the Sierra Nevada mountains. Whoa. The radioactive emissions from Rancho Seco Whoa. Ended up snowed and rained out, and we were drinking it.
So clearly the genocide is actually affecting even the perpetrators of the genocide.
Yes, yes, that's what Maurice was pointing out. But we also know, this group of scientists, that the radioactive contaminated milk, the most radioactive dairy products, are being shipped by the state milk boards, we know for sure in California and Pennsylvania, into black communities. That is why black communities have the highest rates of infant mortality, of breast cancer, of asthma, of prostate cancer. And another very, very good website is Michelle Shostadovsky's website, www.globalresearch.ca for Canada. He's in Canada. So www.radiation.org and www.globalresearch.ca are great, just terrific websites.
Okay, since we're at it, if I'm going to be willing, I'm not the point person for a lot of those questions, so I can refer back to my incredible experts here. My email address is iolmisha@cs.com. That's iolmisha@cs.com.
Misha, thank you very, very much.
Oh, please. I'm so honored.
Thank you, Misha. And I'd be happy to be contacted through your email or your website, and also through the San Francisco Bayview newspaper.
Excellent. Excellent.
Misha, thank you for having me on your show.
And please come back.
Oh, you're welcome.
Come back. You hear?
Sure.
You've been listening to San Francisco Village Voice, where everybody got a voice. Yeah.
And our loved ones to a war with a country that posed no threat to America and had nothing to do with the terrible tragedy of September 11th. Harm, danger,
information put right in W's backyard. If Bush is right, my heart just timed it was wrong. If Bush is right, Martin Luther King Jr. was wrong. If Bush is right, Jesus of Nazareth was wrong.
To have forgotten something very important that the founders of this country charged us with. We must jealously guard our liberty. We must actually stay on top of our leaders, because if we don't, they'll be on top of us. They'll be on top of us.
Hard, David, death, and grief.
I'm angry.
And you mean to tell me that the president can't walk across the lawn or wherever he has to come and at least answer her questions? He's got a lot of questions to answer.
We must jealously guard our liberty. We must.
To whom did God give free will? What happens if you are judged not to have believed in Jesus, not to have believed in his teaching? What then happens to you? If you don't obey God's word, then you go to hell.
You know, it's...
Come on, sir. Come on down, down. Come on down the aisle, brother. Really.
If we choose to believe in him and his ways, and his, that's all we have to...
Wait. Hold your point, please. Hold your point. Because you're almost there. You almost see the ridiculousness of your position. God is a vicious SOB.
Stupid
God is a vicious SOB.
Stupid
God is a vicious SOB.
Stupid
can you be?
Stupid can you be?
One of the most violent baby abusers. And now you understand why when you say, Ray, you know, God gave us free will. It's as though, sir, you walk into your neighbor's house and you pull the gun on the beautiful wife and you say, give me a blowjob. And she says, no, I'm not going to have sex with you. That is ridiculous. Now, I'm giving you a choice. You either give me sex or I'm going to blow your damn brains out. Or I'm gonna blow your damn brains out. And what are you gonna do when you are arrested, sir? Are you gonna stand before a court and say, no, Your Honor, I gave her a choice. I told her, you have a free choice here. You either choose to have sex with me, or I'm gonna blow your brains out. I blew her brains out. Don't you see how foolish you sound?
That rape.
Give me sex. Give me a blowjob. I blew her brains out. Give me sex. Give me a blowjob. I blew her brains out. I mean, isn't the judge going to say, but you had a gun to her head? And so therefore, sir, no choice was rendered. No choice was rendered, right?
Well, hold on. Now,
never repeat the same mistake again. Hiroshima and Nagasaki were enough. We learned a lot. The third A-bomb must never be used on any nation, on any people in the world. And it's very hard to imagine what happened 60 years ago, even among Japanese people. The story of the past, you see. So I just want to young people inherit what we learned in the past, and instead our generation has to transmit our experience to the next generation and ask them, the future is in your hand. Please think and cooperate for the future. I want to see young generation like that. Yes.
Music to set the pace.
Generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix. Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of night. Who poverty in tatters and hollow-eyed and high, set up smoking in the supernatural darkness of cold water flats floating across the tops of cities, contemplating jazz. Who bare their brains to heaven under the L and saw Mohammedan angels staggering on tenement roofs illuminated. Who passed through universities with radiant cool eyes, hallucinating Arkansas in late light elegies. Among the scholars of war, who were expelled from the academies for crazy and publishing obscene odes on the windows of the skull, who cowered in unshaven rooms and underwear, burning their money in wastebaskets and listening to the terror through the wall, who got busted in their pubic beards returning through Laredo with a belt of marijuana for New York, who ate fire in paint hotels, or drank turpentine in Paradise Alley, death or purgatory their torsos, night after night, with dreams, with drugs.